What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sean Jones NBA Show. I'm recording this on February 2nd because we had a bombshell of a deal go down late last night in a trade that just, I don't think anybody could have seen this coming. Luka Doncic is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers and Anthony Davis is now a member of the Dallas Mavericks. So going to get my instant reaction to this and talk through everything from the Mavs and Lakers side. And yeah, this is a crazy one, but let's go ahead and get right into it. I am genuinely at a loss for words about what happened in the NBA last night with the Dallas Mavericks trading Luka Doncic to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. And when this came out and the news broke, it was after midnight last night, I think people genuinely thought it was fake. They thought Shams had been hacked on Twitter. And that's just truly how unbelievable this is. I know that word gets thrown around a lot, not only in sports, but in life in general. But this truly was unbelievable. It is so difficult to understand and comprehend why this deal happened, how this deal happened, and just the idea of trading Luka Doncic in any capacity. Luka is undoubtedly a top four player in the NBA, probably at least top three. I personally would put him in the top two alongside Jokic as the two best players, not in the league, in the world, on this planet, one of the two best basketball players currently living on planet Earth. That is how good Luka Doncic is. And he is 25 years old. He has theoretically not even reached his prime yet. And this is a guy who has made five consecutive first team all NBA appearances. That is something that has never been done by a player in their first six seasons. That is already at age 25, more first-team All-NBA appearances than Dirk Nowitzki's entire career, Kevin Garnett's entire career, David Robinson, Moses Malone, Chris Paul, Steph Curry. That's how unbelievable Luka Doncic has been to start his career. He is on all-time great level trajectory. This is a generational player. And I mean that in a literal sense. Players like Luka don't come around every year in the draft. They don't come around every couple of years in the draft. They don't come around every decade. They come around once in a generation. He is that special. He is that talented. He has been an all-star level player basically since the second he stepped into the league, and an all-NBA level player since his second season, and there's really been no debate about it. He is the kind of guy that teams hang up the phone at just the thought of another team bringing him up. He is, if he's not untouchable, I don't know who is. I mean, just to put into perspective how just truly, truly great he's been. He is third in points in NBA history for a player by age 25 behind only LeBron and Kevin Durant. Those are the only two players that have scored more points by this age. He's fifth in assists by age 25, behind only Chris Paul, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas. He is first in three-pointers made for a player by age 25. He is third in field goals made by a player at age 25. The guy has career averages of 28.6 points per game, the third highest point per game total in NBA history behind only Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. He's top 12 in assists per game in NBA history, ahead of guys like LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Last season, he averaged 33.9 points per game, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. In the playoffs for his career, he's averaged 30.9 points per game. That is second in NBA history behind only Michael Jordan. He's the only other guy, him and Jordan are the only two that have averaged even 30-plus in the playoffs. He's got a higher assist per game in the playoffs than guys like Jason Kidd, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Nikola Jokic. He is simultaneously probably the best scorer that we have in the league and maybe also the best playmaker, at least in that discussion. He gets to his spots on the court better than anybody in the league can. He has elite strength. He has elite change of pace with the ball. He's not a freak athlete, but he doesn't need to be because he's mastered the game of basketball. He has a crazy high basketball IQ. Like, the only thing that can really stop him is himself when he gets a little too jump shot happy, but he's an elite passer. He reads the game flawlessly. If you lean a little bit too much and commit onto him, he'll throw it up for a lob for an easy 2 points to his big guy. If you stay home and commit to the big, then he's just going to score one-on-one every single time. Luka Doncic is a spectacular, spectacular player and the type of player that should never even be considered to be moved unless you are at absolute last resort in danger of losing the asset. If your back's against the wall, they tell you, get me out of here or you're going to lose me for nothing, then maybe we get to that point. But if you're not in that scenario, and it sounds like they were not, Dallas, this was all their own doing. Luka wanted to stay in Dallas. He had not shown any sort of inkling that he was going to ask out. I don't know if he was going to sign that extension right away in this offseason, but I find it very hard to believe he was going to turn down that kind of super max money. We haven't seen a player do that to this point, and I don't know why he would necessarily have been the first one. Truly sick for Mavericks fans, because I cannot even imagine my favorite team doing something like this. I mean, this is just a total fuck you to them. It's a stab in the back. It is a betrayal. It is... like, Luka is this team. He's everything to this franchise. He's everything to this city. He is Dallas. He is the Mavericks. Like, he is definitionally the face of the franchise. And to just abandon him and this team, a team that just made the final, to not see this through more and try is just, it's dirty work by the front office. They owe it to him. They owe it to this team. They owe it to the coaching staff. They owe it to the fans to try to make this work, regardless of if you think it wasn't working. Because let me tell you, it was working pretty well. I know they've had their injuries this year, but Dallas was legitimate. They were a threat. They made the NBA Finals last year and deserved every bit of it. They kicked OKC's ass. They kicked Minnesota's ass. They kicked the Clippers' ass in round one. Like, they made it look easy. They played hard defensively. Luka was doing everything for them on offense, but had shown a willingness to take a little bit of a step back at times when he needed, which he hadn't done all the time in the past. His fit with Kyrie had proven to be a really good one. They played really well off of each other. And to just throw that all away, it, like, this is a whole era, a team, like, that we'll remember, and it's all gone with one move. I mean, AD and Kyrie is a fun pairing, but you do everything in your power to hold on to Luka Doncic, and they sought this out. And so I, as I said, I am sick for Mavericks fans. I was texting one of my old buddies who's a Mavs fan, and he just, like, he said he doesn't even know if he can root for the team anymore. That's how insane this is. Like, I wouldn't blame anybody for jumping ship. Because how can you trust anything with this organization now? And Mark Cuban would not have let this happen. I will say that. So that whole ownership situation kind of flew under the radar, but has proven now to be significant in how this team is being run. And I just, again, this is so brutal for Mavs fans. And to make this trade, trading Luka in itself is just inexcusable for a guy at his age, at his talent, just given where he is in the league. But to then, let's just assume you've already made the decision you want to out of the Luka business, to not turn this into a bidding war is just front office malpractice. I don't know how you could only reach out to one single team and not scour the market and try to get every last ounce of every single asset that you can out of these teams. And the craziest part is, like, even if you wanted Anthony Davis, which it seems like that was their target all along, how do you not get both of the Lakers' first round picks? How do you allow them to only give one of their two available tradable first round picks to you, and no swaps and no second round picks? Like, I cannot fathom this. Just the idea that trading him would be a good idea, and just the lack of doing due diligence and making sure that you're getting the best deal that you can. I don't see any world in which this makes Dallas a better team in the short term, in the medium term, or in the long term. This is just a total miss by them across the board. I don't care if Luka is a little out of shape. I don't care if he's a lot of out of shape. I don't care if he's drinking during the season, during games. He's Luka Doncic. You do not trade him at age 25 coming off a finals appearance. You do not have any hesitation about giving this guy a max extension. If you're not giving Luka Doncic a max extension, who are you giving a max extension to? A 31, soon to be 32-year-old Anthony Davis, who, no disrespect to AD, he's having a great season. He's a phenomenal player. He's at worst a borderline top 10 guy in the league, but he is not and never will be Luka Doncic in any capacity. The impact that Luka has on the game is just miles ahead of what AD is able to do, and he's a very impactful player. Obviously, I mean, the guy's also a multi-time perennial All-NBA talent, but there's levels to this, man. And Luka Doncic, it doesn't get better than him. He's the kind of player that teams dream of having on their team for a decade plus. Like, there's been quotes coming out from front office people that said they would have given up everything that they had, every last asset, to get Luka. And for the Lakers to not even have to give up their second first round pick is just, I cannot wrap my head around it. And this is just a complete botch by the Mavericks front office. I don't, again, even if he's got his health concerns, that is the kind of risk that every single team should be willing to take. And the Lakers obviously agreed, because they, no hesitancy, were like, sign us up. And it's been great having you, Anthony Davis. But I don't blame them one bit. I don't know how they couldn't just immediately say, yeah, let's do this trade. But this makes it so much more risky too, because the Mavs just invested in this team around Luka, and they are now suddenly built around two aging, injury-prone stars. Anthony Davis will be 32 by the end of the season. Kyrie Irving will be 33 by the end of the season. Both of these guys have not been durable. Over the last 5 years, Kyrie's played 221 games. That's an average of 44 games per season. Over the last 4 years, Anthony Davis has played 206 games. That is an average of 52 games per season. Both of them have missed some time this year as well. So these guys are injury prone. They're older, like 3-4 years down the line. They're going to be mid to late 30s. And this is a team that gave out its 2027 first round pick to Charlotte in the PJ Washington trade last year. They gave out a 2028 pick swap to OKC in order to get another first to make a trade at the deadline last year. They gave out their 2029 first to Brooklyn in the Kyrie Irving trade. That's unprotected. And they gave out a pick swap in 2030 to San Antonio to help them get Grant Williams. And so that means from 2027 all the way through to 2030, they do not have control over any of those picks. And by 2030, that's 5 years from now, Kyrie is going to be 38. Anthony Davis is going to be 37. Those guys might not even be on the team at this point. So this could end up being a disaster where the Mavericks are not competitive when they're handing these picks back over to these other teams. And with Luka, you had really no risk with these picks, giving them out, because you're going to be at minimum a playoff team anytime Luka's on the roster, really regardless of what else is around him at this point. That's how good he is. But, oh God, I can't understand it. what was the rush here? What was the urgency on the Mavs side and the lack of just seeing what they could get out there? I get they want to, I guess, remain competitive, but they could have done that while also getting more picks. How did they not at least get that other pick from the Lakers? It makes no sense. And all the quotes from Nico Harrison have just honestly made it worse. I mean, he said this was a win now move, he called it. Well, there's nothing more win now than Luka Doncic. He's a minimum 45 to 50 wins and a playoff appearance all on his own, regardless of what else you have on the roster. He is the definition of win now. Nico Harrison said that the future for them is only in the next 3 to 4 years, and that he's not concerned with 10 years down the line, because he was insinuating that him and Jason Kidd probably won't even be a part of the Mavericks organization by then. Which, how can you hear that as a Mavericks fan or as an owner for the Mavs and their front office and not be completely terrified with a comment like that? Basically saying like, yeah, we're going in sort of for the next couple of years, but who cares down the road? I'm not going to be here. The owner reportedly laughed at Nico Harrison when he first brought it up to him, and rightfully so. I'm sure he thought it was a joke. I'm sure everybody thought this was the joke when we first saw it. And then he also said that Jason Kidd had no idea about the move and that it was really a decision made by him and only him. And he said, that's why I'm here, to make the tough decisions. So for Dallas, I really have no words for why they would make this move. Luka Doncic, as I said, should be untouchable, and the Lakers just had a miracle fall into their lap by acquiring him in this deal. And so for Dallas moving forward, I don't think they're done. I mean, they're kind of crowded in their front court now. I know Lively's going to be out for a while. They still have Gafford, Anthony Davis. So I would imagine that Gafford might be on the move in some sort of deal to maybe add some more scoring and shooting on the wing to replace some of what Luka does. And look, they're probably going to still be a pretty good team. Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, in theory, is a pairing that complements each other very well. They're both 25-plus point-per-game scorers. Kyrie's more of not a total ball dominant guy, but a elite three-level perimeter scorer. Anthony Davis does most of his damage in the paint, but can also handle the ball. So I think that the two of them together make sense as a pairing. And I think Anthony Davis will improve this team defensively. They're already pretty good defensively, but I think that he's obviously going from a guy like Luka to him on the defensive end should be an upgrade. But their ceiling is completely a shell of what it was. You know, I personally had the Mavericks as the biggest threat to the Thunder in the Western Conference, despite the fact that they are the 8 seed as I'm recording this, and the fact that they've had injuries and looked inconsistent and not everything's really clicked for them quite this season. I still believed in them because I believed in Luka, and I thought that they obviously beat the Thunder last year. I think that they still matched up on paper with them about as well as anybody does in the West. And they just had one of the best sort of proof of concept rotations and system and personnel group between Luka and Kyrie doing their thing as scorers on the perimeter, Luka orchestrating everything for them offensively, getting the other role guys going, getting them the ball in their spot. They had the really successful pairing of Lively and Gafford down low as rim runners, shot blockers, rim protectors, and all the role guys were starting to come together really nicely. I think PJ Washington has been just great for this team. Klay Thompson has added at least another option and element for them offensively. Quentin Grimes has given them great minutes. Najee Marshall has been a good addition. Like, they got the role players, they had the star players, they had the fit together. Their stars made sense, the role players made sense. We've seen it. They made a finals. And so the idea of what the Mavericks could be was always extremely clear in terms of what they could do as contenders. And so to me, they were a real threat to make the finals again. And now I do not feel that way. I think that this team, could they win a first round series? Probably, maybe, depending on the draw, you know, who they get. If they end up as the 8 seed, it's going to be tough against OKC. But if they can get up to that 6, 7, maybe even 5 seed, then it's plausible to think that they could win a series depending on who they drop. But that's really going to be it. I don't see a path for them to legitimately contend now, because I just don't, they don't have a guy. They don't, they got two of the absolute best 1Bs in the NBA. LeBron's co-stars that he's won a title with both of them. Kyrie has made it back to the finals next to a guy like Luka. But these are not 1A type guys. They're just not. And they're both spectacular players, like I mentioned, worthy of all-star appearances this season. But I just don't see a team led by Kyrie and AD being able to win 3-4 playoff rounds just in the current landscape of the NBA. So for the Mavs, I mean, as I said, in the short term, I think it's a huge downgrade, because anytime you can have a top two player on the planet, you should do that. And then in the long term, like I said, I think that they totally screwed themselves down the line, because they don't own any of their draft capital really over the next 4 or 5 years. And their players are old and they're injury prone. And so I like, when these guys retire, it's going to get ugly for the Mavs. They don't have any sort of future post AD or Kyrie now. I mean, they might legitimately be back in a bottom five lottery team within 5 years from now, which is crazy to say, because you never, ever would have thought that with Luka Doncic on this roster at only age 25 still. Thought he was probably going to finish his career there, at least spend another decade there. But yeah, on the Lakers side of things, again, for as bad as this move is for Dallas, is equally as spectacular a deal for the Lakers, because Luka Doncic just literally fell right into their lap. And if you're the Lakers, it's a little bit of a weird fit with the roster construction right now, but you do this deal 10 out of 10 times, 100 out of 100 times, 1,000 out of 1,000 times. You do this deal every single time. And if they had to give up that other first round pick, you still do the deal. If they had to give up Austin Reeves, you still do the deal. Like, if you can get Luka Doncic, there's no overpaying for Luka, because that's how good he is. So for the Lakers, the fact that they were able to keep Reeves, the fact that they were able to keep Dalton Connect, the fact that they were able to keep any of their draft capital is just a miracle, honestly. And they suddenly went from a team that was competitive. I wouldn't quite go as far as to say they were contenders, but they had a real time cap on what this team was going to be able to do in the next few years, just because LeBron is 40 years old. Anthony Davis, as I mentioned, he is going to be 32 by the end of the year. They both have been a little injury prone over the last few years. Like, they were just, once LeBron retired, it was very uncertain what the Lakers' future was going to look like. And now that is just not the case at all, because they have a superstar. I don't even want to say waiting in the wing, because he's here. He's ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be really good now. They're going to be better now than they were, assuming they can round out the roster a little bit. And so, yeah, this is just a home run for them. I will say, for the Lakers, they obviously need to add a center to this roster now, because Jackson Hayes is just not going to suffice as a guy that you can trust for the remainder of the season if you want to like legitimately have a shot come postseason time. But luckily for them, I mean, they still have assets now. They still have that first round pick. They still have three first round swaps they can send out. They still have a second round pick. They still have some cheap, desirable contracts. I think Hachimura's contract is movable. Jared Vanderbilt, Gabe Vincent. And I really think this opens the door for Reeves to become much more expendable. He was a non-starter for them before this deal, but with LeBron and Luka on the team, Reeves, his skill set becomes a little less of a necessity and more of a luxury. And I wouldn't blame them if they kind of floated his name out on the market, because I think just with how cheap his deal is, making under $15 million a year, like, he's a very valuable asset that could net them some legitimate returns back to LA. And so, do they repurpose his skill set for some more size in the front court, or do they hold on to him, try to consolidate some of those other contracts for a center alongside some picks? Those are just something that they're going to have to see what the market looks like, but there's a lot of options out there for them. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, I'm sure Portland would love to dump him. He's making $34 million a year, so he is a bit overpaid, but that could work in LA's favor where they probably wouldn't even have to give up their pick to get him. I'm sure Portland would just give him to them for whatever they can get back, you know? But then you've got other guys like Nick Claxton, who's having a pretty rough year for Brooklyn, but I still believe in as a legitimate rim protector, versatile defender. I think he would be really the ideal fit for them. That's who I would target if I were them, because I think he's gettable. I think that he might cost you that first round pick, but probably not much more. I don't think they're going to have to like throw in Connect or any of the second round picks or anything like that. Reeves, definitely not. Like, it would really just be fillers in the first for Claxton. I think that makes sense for them. And of course, they'd still be a little small and lack some girth down low. And Claxton's not a great rebounder, for example. But at the very least, I mean, he gives them rim protection and he gives them length and size, which is desperately what they need right now. But then there's some cheaper options. Clint Capella's name has been in the rumor mill a little bit over the last few weeks with the Hawks. Nikola Vucevic has been very available for what feels like a couple years now and probably wouldn't even cost them their first round pick potentially. Though I don't love that fit quite as much because I think that he's just, they need more defense at that spot than offense. And while he'd be a great offensive fit for this team, I think I'd rather have someone who's more defensive minded than Vucevic, even though he might be a better player than some of these other options. Miles Turner, his name has been again floated out there, even though Indiana has like literally no other centers on the roster. It seems like they don't really want to pay him in the offseason. So he could be available. That could be a good fit for them as a floor spacing big that also protects the rim. Jakob Poeltl is an option for Toronto. Then you get some of the super cheaper options. I mean, Robert Williams probably wouldn't cost much from Portland just because of his injury history and the fact that he's third on their depth chart essentially right now. Jonas Valanciunas, I'm not a fan of him as an impact playoff player for a contender, but he'd probably be super cheap and he's a big body. And so, I mean, having him would be better than Jackson Hayes at the very least. And then De'Ron Sharp with Brooklyn is an option. He's very cheap, only $4 million a year, but a little more unproven. You know, you don't know exactly what you're getting compared to some of these other guys, but could potentially be an option for them. And then there's Walker Kessler, who's been rumored to not only the Lakers, but a couple other teams over the past few months, even into the offseason. Though I don't really know why Utah would want to trade him. I mean, he's had a nice bounce back year this year after a little bit of a disappointing second season a year ago, but he's an elite shot blocker for his position. He's a good rebounder, a little raw on offense still, but does a lot of the things that the team would desperately need, you know? So if they could somehow get a Kessler plus somebody else, like either a John Collins or a Colin Sexton or something like that with that first round pick, maybe some swaps and then throw Connect in there, maybe that's enough. But I'm still skeptical Utah would want to move Kessler. But look, if they add one of these centers, if they add somebody without giving up too much from the rest of their rotation, I see no reason why the Lakers shouldn't be legitimately considered for the number two spot in the West after the Thunder. And that is how much impact Luka has. I had the Mavericks as the number two team in the West with Luka. Now I probably would have the Lakers as the number two team, assuming they can get some sort of center. But that's how good Luka is. He makes you an instant contender. And so I think Luka and LeBron, I know there's going to be some discourse around their fit and it's a little redundant with their skill sets. I'm not worried about that at all. They're both super, super high IQ players. They're going to figure it out. Like, there's no part of me that is at all concerned about, are they going to be able to coexist? Like, yes, they're going to be able to coexist. LeBron is like, there's no fit that's bad for LeBron. He can do whatever he needs to do and he makes players around him better. And Luka is the same way. He has the same sort of, like, he's just going to make it work with whoever he plays with. And so I'm not worried about that fit at all. I think it's going to be a great fit, honestly, between the two of them. They're going to be able to play off each other and also have much less responsibility across the board offensively, which would probably be good for both of them. But then look, Reeves, is having him as your third creator initiator is such a luxury. They still have some good pieces. Vanderbilt just came back and has provided them some very nice defense, which they've desperately needed on the perimeter this year. Rui Hachimura's had a better year this year than he has over the last couple years in JJ Redick's system. And like I said, if they add a center or somebody in the front court that can provide them some defense and some rebounding and some size, then I think this roster is looking great. Dorian Finney-Smith's been a great addition for them as well. And so I genuinely think I would have them at number two in the West, which is crazy to say because the Lakers have been a non-serious, they've been a competitive team, but like not a legitimate contender over the last few years. And you put Luka Doncic in there. Of course, their defense is going to suffer, but that's why they've probably got to make another move. But look, I think it's going to be super fun to watch Luka and LeBron. There was some questions about whether like, well, do they just retool around Luka and go ahead and trade LeBron as well? But he's got no trade clause. Chris Haynes reported today that LeBron intends to finish the season with the Lakers. So I do think that that is going to be the case and that he's going to stay in LA. But at least for this season, maybe we'll revisit in the offseason and see how things go and how the season plays out. But look, the West is kind of open after OKC. I think Denver has made a strong case as a team that is started to play a lot better. And a lot of people view them as probably the number two like threat after Oklahoma City. But look, Memphis, we haven't seen it out of them in the postseason to this point. It's still a little bit unproven. I know they've got depth, but do they have the star power? Can they be consistent in the half court offense and come postseason time? Houston, very inexperienced. Also, same questions. Doesn't really have the same star power of anybody in the West playoffs. And they have none of them have really been there before. And same thing with their offense. I just don't trust it down the stretch. So those two teams, you know, I think there's an easy case to say, give me LeBron and Luka. And if they've got some semblance of defense around them, then I'll take that over those two teams all day. I think Denver is interesting, but you know, a lot of the other teams have been disappointing. The Suns have just not been able to put together weeks of consistent basketball. Neither have the Wolves or the Warriors or the Kings or any of these teams, really. The Clippers have looked really solid, but there's always going to be questions when you're built around James Harden and Kawhi Leonard come postseason time from health and performance. So I can't believe this trade happened. It's actually crazy to think about. It's inexplicable for Dallas. As I said, there's really no other way to put it. I can't understand why they would do this deal in any capacity. And if you're going to do a deal, how do you not get every last ounce of every asset possible of whatever team you trade Luka to? And yeah, I don't have much else to say about it because I was completely shocked and stunned at this deal. We will see how this plays out for Dallas, but I predict that I think this is going to be a deal that 10 years down the line, we look back and say, wow, that really was as crazy and as dumb of a move as everybody thought it was at the time. And I think this is the kind of thing that could cost Nico Harrison his job down the line and the kind of thing that could set Dallas back for not just years, but like decades to go from the surest of sure things of a franchise player to in 3 years, maybe potentially looking at a low lottery team once again without control of any of your picks. They went from one of the best situations in the NBA to now one of the bleakest outlooks in terms of long-term future in the NBA. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Sean Jones NBA Show. Thank you so much for listening. This was completely out of left field. We do have the trade deadline coming up later this week on Thursday. I don't think anything's going to top this one, but I'm sure we are going to get some good deals. I mean, at the very least, I expect Jimmy Butler, potentially De'Aaron Fox, maybe Zach LaVine. Like, there are a lot of big names out there that could be moved. And I kind of feel like with this move happening, it's almost going to ensure that more teams start to get more aggressive. Teams might look around and say, well, they traded Luka Doncic. So I think we can take a swing on a Zach LaVine, for example, where teams might have been more hesitant before. But yeah, with that said, I will definitely have a trade deadline reaction pod later in the week. But until we start getting some more deals, let's see these things trickle in. But this was a big one, as I said. But thanks so much for listening, and I'll chat with you soon.